these, free long-term solar power for communications devices such as radios, walkie-talkies, and cell phones, as well as power for small applications. Get the one-stop solution for your emergency and everyday needs.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Bob Chapman of the International Forecaster. Hi, Bob. How are we doing?
Not bad. Not bad at all.
Well, I was just reading. Certainly, it looks like somewhere between 30 and 60 $1 trillion of wealth have disappeared throughout the world. Certainly that is the collapse of the world stock market, the collapse of the value of the of property throughout the world. $30 to $60 trillion, and of course they say, well, we're just going to solve this. We're going to just have one more bailout, $819 billion, and of course we're going to spend this to bail us out. We're going to give money for control of sexually transmitted diseases, and we're going to put out money to try to bail the states out, and somehow that's going to solve the problem. And of course they're not trying to solve the problem. If you wonder why the foreclosures continue, why the price of houses continues to drop, why people continue losing their jobs, the real truth is they don't want to solve the problem, but they want to give you the impression that they're trying to solve the problem so that you will not rise up in your righteous indignation and demand that all of our congressmen, just about all of them, and everybody in government be repealed, because they're all lackeys for a small group of people who really control this government. There are about 87 of them in the Trilateral Commission, 87 Americans in the northern chapter. There's about 120 people there, but you'll find them all there in key positions in the Obama regime, and of course they control our economics. They always have. They usually control the World Bank, and they control the Fed. Well, three of the last chairmen of the Feds have come from the Trilateral Commission. 8 of the last 10 presidents of the World Bank have come from the Trilateral Commission. I think 7 of the last 9 secretaries of defense, and 8 of the last 10 secretaries of state, they all come from this same little clique of people that really run our government. And of course the last thing they want is the American people to know that they are trying to destroy our economy. That's why they're not doing anything logical to try to stop this cascade of collapse that is coming down, not only all across America, but all across the world. Bob, you pick up the story.
Well, in the aftermath of last week's World Economic Forum in Davos in Switzerland, we got a lot of mixed information coming out of there. And obviously, some of the people who are there, who are in relatively high places, don't know what the plan is, because they were arguing with the others that do know what the plan is, and it made for a lively World Economic Forum. Joe Stiglitz, former World Bank economist and Nobel Prize winner, said what's being done is insanity, like what you just described.
Well, basically, it's only insanity if you don't know what you're doing. They do know what they're doing. I think they're being very, very successful as the cascade of unemployment increases and home foreclosures and plants shutting down. I think they're doing a great job if what you want to do is destroy our economy.
Well, Joe Stiglitz obviously doesn't know that.
I'm sure he doesn't. I'd rather like
to. Because he wouldn't have been saying what he was saying had he been in on it.
I'd rather like Joe Stiglitz. I think he's not a bad individual.
No, I don't either, and I think he's attained what he's attained But on the other hand, I don't think he's on the inside.
I don't think he is either. Well, we're
so with that said, there were others who said the same thing.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back, Bob. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. I guess this afternoon is Bob Chapman from the International Forecaster, and we're talking about what happened last week at the meeting on Davos, where they had, of course, the leaders of the world economic system were all meeting there, and a lot of them really don't understand. Some of these people honestly think that, see, what's going on doesn't make any sense. These people have to be insane. That's what Joe Stiglitz, who's a Nobel Prize winning economist, said. There has to be insane. Well, they're not insane, ladies and gentlemen. The people in charge know exactly what they're doing. They are not trying to stop the shutdown of our industries. They're not trying to stop the skyrocketing unemployment. They're not trying to stop the foreclosures on the homes. That's why they didn't buy up all the mortgages when they had the opportunity. And $700 billion, Henry Paulson couldn't even give the money away. And, of course, the banks had plenty of money. They didn't need to be refinanced. They didn't need to be liquefied. It was all a scam. Anything to get the impression they were doing something, while, of course, they are really husbanding this whole collapse of the economic system and the destruction of the value of our currency and the impoverishment of the American people. Pick the story up, Bob.
And that got very little coverage. And actually, the forum did get relatively good coverage over CNBC, but the only people who were interviewed were people who were in the Illuminati. So we get the full dose of the insiders inside. Another thing that was not reported at all that I've seen, and every time I've gone to the sources available to us in the United States on this, there's been nothing there. And I got a couple of articles in Europe on the subject and some conversation. But there was a very large demonstration, and the police had to break it up with tear gas. And they were blaming the bankers for causing all of these problems and so on and so forth. And so it was probably the roughest time that the internationalists have had at any of those meetings. And maybe they won't even have one next year. That was pretty rough. And they have thousands of security people there.
Well, of course, the thing is that the last thing they want is for the world as a whole to understand they really intended this to happen. We'll be right back. Yeah, this is Dr. Stan, and Bob was just saying that the meeting over in Davos, there were a lot of demonstrations. The police had to intervene, use tear gas, but, of course, you can always be sure they're going to be agent provocateurs in those crowds. That is the technique that they use. Prototype would have been the anti-war demonstrations during Vietnam, where, of course, the whole anti-war movement was financed by the very people who were pushing the war. We saw this at the Democratic conventions, I think in the 1969, somewhere there, 67 or 69, whereas, of course, the whole opposition was financed by the people who wanted to discredit anybody who objected what was going on. We saw this in the riots in Seattle. We've got a great four-tape set on that. The riots in Seattle, against the world economic leaders. And it was the world economic leaders who actually organized the opposition. You always want a controlled opposition. And, of course, so that you can lead it, so it will accomplish nothing. Go right ahead, Bob.
Well, anyway, I think it was more than they bargained for. And, there's been disturbances all over Europe and Eastern Europe over the past month. And in China, very bad rioting. Millions have been laid off. And they got no place to go. They go back home. There's nothing there.
I understand, but about 10 million people have lost their jobs over in China so far. Is that pretty accurate?
Yeah, that's correct. And they've been taking on the military with their bare hands. I mean, that's how bad the situation is. You know, when people say, China's this and China's that, good things, And that's not true. I mean, the banking system's offside $1.3 trillion in bad debts to party members. It's still a dictatorship. It's still communism. And they still herd the people around like they were wild animals. They still have restrictions on breeding. And now they may be sitting on a couple of trillion dollars worth of foreign exchange, I don't think that in the long run that's going to help them an awful lot.
But because a lot of that is American dollars, they are the major source of funding for America's deficit. I mean, we basically, they used to tell us we had to borrow $2 billion a day. It's got to be probably twice that much. Now, it looks like the deficit for this coming year will be pretty close to $2 trillion at least, and it may be a lot more than that. And so where does the money come from? Well, we either borrow it from overseas or we print it here and destroy the value of our currency. I think they're doing both. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I get two things to tell you on that. First of all, China has $681.9 billion in U.S. treasuries. And Wen Jiabo said yesterday that whether China will continue to buy treasuries and how much they'll buy depends on their own need for maintaining the value of their foreign reserve requirements and investment requirements.
But aren't they also invested a lot of the other agency debt like Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and other government debt, you know, that is not necessarily treasury bonds, but at least other corporate entities that are affiliated with our government?
Well, I have about $300 billion of that.
Right. So you're talking pretty close to a trillion dollars.
They've been dumping that and buying treasuries to mask the problem of you know, that exists for U.S. Needing to raise money. And I don't know who's buying the Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac paper, but I think it's the Fed. I think they're the buyers. And the money that's gleaned from those is used to buy treasuries. Now,
I think it's so important that people understand what happens if the Federal Reserve just creates the money out of nothing. And what they've actually done is increase the money base. They've doubled it here in the last year, which means that down the line, well, right now your money's worth half of what it was, you know, a year ago. I mean, they've destroyed the value. The inflation hasn't set in yet, but we're just seeing the beginning of this because, you know, this $2 trillion deficit we're going to be running this year could very well be $3 trillion the following year and $4 and $5 trillion the next year, just like the government we installed there in Zimbabwe. Maybe that was somebody, an experiment to see how you destroy a great nation. We put that government in power. We've kept Mugabe in power. Maybe it's just simply a trial run.
Well, it could be a modern-day trial run. The other thing I was going to say is that this past year, China has purchased $233 billion worth of U.S. treasuries. That's down quite a bit from what they had purchased previously, and they have not been buyers here in the last little while. The other large buyer was the Gulf oil producers. They bought $245 billion, which is a little bit more than the Chinese, but they're a collective group of countries there. And their revenues are down from $147 a barrel to $40 a barrel. So I don't think they're going to be running out there buying any. If they do, it'll be a very small amount of treasuries.
You know, Bob, it's amazing that nobody ever asked, where is this $819 billion that Obama just appropriated? Where is the money coming from? Where is the $700 billion TARP funds coming from? In fact, if you read my November letter, why we'd already put out, you know, almost $7 billion, $7.4 billion by the end of November, you know, trying to rescue the economic system. Where did that $7 trillion come from? Nobody's ever asking, does the money grow in trees? Does it come out of a printing press? Is it miraculously come down from the skies? Cause when you turn on the printing presses, you destroy the value of the currency and do impoverish the people. But pick this story up because we're spending massive amounts of money accomplishing absolutely nothing to correct the problem. And, of course, things are getting worse and worse every day. And yes, of course, you know, the American people never say, where's the money coming from that Mr. Obama, President Obama, is going to be spending?
Well, some of it's been raised by the Treasury, but the majority of it is coming from the Fed. And it's been my suspicion that they've already been, well, essentially breaking the law. And what they've been doing is the Fed has been secretly selling Treasury bonds to the Federal Reserve, which, as you said, makes money up out of thin air and buys those bonds and issues the currency, or the issues the ability to print the currency to the U.S. Treasury. And I expect that the $1.3 to $2 trillion shortfall fiscally will be filled that way this year between now and September the 30th. I expect that funding in between, because as I just pointed out, China really doesn't want to buy any more paper. And at the same time, the Gulf states are not in a position to do so. So we're going to see more monetization there. And how much? Altogether, probably $2.5 to $3 trillion. And if you add it to all the other things that they're doing, I figured it all out. My last figure was $12 to $13 trillion in total for this fiscal year with all of the things that they're doing, you know, Citicorp and AIG.
I think Bank of America just asked for another $100 billion, you know. Bank of America wants another $100 billion.
Right. And they're bankrupt, no question.
Right.
All the major banks are under, as is all the major brokerage firms.
Well, how about
most of the insurance companies that are on the verge of bankruptcy? And it's all because of the derivative market, if nothing else.
Well, I understand the three banks went down last Friday after the market closed,
right.
Of course.
Well, I expect continued problems. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. And I've told people who have insurance policies that are more than 50% funded, and those who have annuities to get out of them because they may never collect anything. And I've told people with CDs and banks to get rid of them. Where do they go with the money? They go to gold and silver-related assets. If they don't want all their money there, they can buy Swiss franc government bonds, Swiss treasuries. And that's it. I don't have any other recommendations.
Well, I think the tragedy is that most people do not understand what happens when a nation sets out to debauch its currency and to destroy the fundamentals of its economics, because we have people who have a different agenda. They want to transfer power to China and to Russia, and they want to transfer our manufacturing to Brazil and to Mexico. But they can't tell the American people that. They've been doing it. They've already sent over half of our manufacturing overseas. It has been done intentionally, and we've sent phenomenal amounts of money overseas. We are sending phenomenal amounts of money out in the way of form of foreign aid when we're having to borrow money every day to pay our bills. How can you be providing foreign aid for other countries when, of course, you have to borrow money to pay your bills? That doesn't make any sense. Maybe Joseph Stiglitz is. Maybe they're just all mad up there. Maybe this is organized insanity, or maybe it's something far more sinister.
Well, it's something far more sinister. The easy way is to dismiss it as insanity. Paul Craig Roberts has done that, but he knows. He knows what's going on. And I've described it that way, too, but it's really a lot more than that.
All right. I really think it's far more diabolical. Well, if you're out the listening audience and you have a question or comment for Bob Chapman, who's with us every week at this time, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And I know Bob would love to hear from you if you have any question or comment. But America is suddenly going from bad to worse. The $819 billion is not, remember, I mean, the whole budget of the United States is only about $3 trillion a year. And we already came up with almost $10 trillion last year, and it didn't do any good. It's not going to. Go right ahead, Bob.
I think that the war that's going on between the two parties, and the war, we'll call it a non-combative war, between the Democrats and Republicans is all political folderol. The Democrats have enough to pass the stimulus package. They just want the Republicans to go along with them. And so that if it doesn't work, they can share the blame. And that's what that's all about. And I don't think the Republicans are going to come across. And the excuse will be, well, we don't want to be responsible for a loser. And they're right. It is going to be a loser. I expect the results of that stimulus package to last from 3 to 9 months, and in all probability 3 to 6. So what do we get? Probably something on the order of 90 to 180 days, and it'll be history. If you're going to do a program like that, the only way to do it is to go where it's needed the most. Now, I know that the financial entities are bankrupt. They should be allowed to go under. But, of course, they own the Fed, so they're not going to allow that to happen. They don't care about the American people. They just care about their wealth and power. But the way to do it, if you're going to spend that kind of money, which is $12 or $13 trillion, let's take it and let's find a way to give it to the American public. Because heretofore, 72% of GDP has come from individual consumption. It's probably around 71 right now. The long-term mean is 64.5, and I think that's where we're headed. And so if they really wanted to have a shot at getting any kind of equilibrium going, that would be the only way to do it. But even that, there's absolutely no guarantee that that would work. But I think they would be getting closer to the subject.
Well, don't you think that they really should be buying up these bonds out there, these toxic bonds, and buy them from banks throughout the world to protect the economy of the rest of the world, buy them up from our banks if they really wanted to do anything? But I think the people who issued those bonds ought to go to prison. I think the people who rated those bonds, AAA, ought to go to prison. I think the appraisers, suddenly appraised these homes at prices that had no relationship at all to their value, they should lose their license. And why isn't any of that happening?
Well, it's a good question, and it involves the whole, I call it the daisy chain. And you got the Fed, who told the raiders to raid them. The raiders were in collusion with the issuers, which were the banks of the CDOs and SIVs, which are collateralized debt obligations, and these other vehicles that they had with mortgages inside of bonds. And then you get the mortgage originator, who was qualifying people who were totally unqualified. And then you get the appraiser, who was told, look, this is what you do, and they did it. And then you have the salespeople, who knew the people shouldn't have been buying these kind of houses in the first place. And then you got 80%
hold that thought
of the people who bought houses who lied in their applications.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess, of course, this is Bob Chapman. He's just pointing out that everybody was responsible for creating this problem. The appraisers intentionally appraised the homes at far more than they were worth, and they made a lot of money out of it, and they didn't have the integrity. And they had to go to prison or certainly lose their appraisers' licenses. The people who sold these homes, people who could not afford them, they had to lose their realtor licenses. The people who packaged the loans into bonds and then sold them, they should go to prison as well. The people who gave these bonds a AAA rating. And then, of course, the banks, of course, have wrote the insurance policies. They call them derivatives, the insurance policies on the bonds that of course, they knew they were going to default on them. They ought to be allowed to go bankrupt. And the people who did it, the fraudulent people who did it, ought to go to prison. And nobody's going to prison because this is just what they wanted. They wanted to bring down our economy and the economy of the world. Because that's how they hope to take us into the one world government. And if you doubt that, yeah, all you need to do is go up on the internet and pull down Henry Kissinger's article, January 12th, International Herald Tribune, The Chance for a New World Order. That's the title, Chance for a New World Order. Henry Kissinger, International Herald Tribune. If you can't find it, you get anything from us, we'll be glad to send you a copy. Understand, he lays it out, this horror that is destroying the lives of people, this is an opportunity. Well, let's go to Ian, who's calling us from Florida. Hi, Ian. How are you hearing us? Are you hearing us on shortwave or internet?
Well, good evening. I'm listening to you on the internet.
All right, you go right ahead. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, I've got an observation, a bit of a question. First of all, in Rhodesia and in South Africa, I remember hearing that they said, well, it can never happen here.
Right.
And my observation in the U.S. when I heard that same thing is, well, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. And at the moment, there's no real satisfaction in being proven right. But my biggest question for Bob tonight is about manipulation of commodities. Like the cost of gas is going up at the pump, while it's still extremely way down by the barrel. And other commodities, such as orange juice, for example, it's at the grocery store, it's now $3 a quart instead of $2. But as a producer, I'm getting like 60 cents instead of $2.50 a pound. And how does that make sense?
Well, nothing makes sense. It's all manipulated. Ian's, of course, asking, what about manipulation of commodities, Bob? I mean, is there manipulation of commodities? And I would simply ask, it should be so obvious that there is. Go ahead. Bob? Bob, are you there? Well, I hope we haven't lost our guest, Bob.
No, we got it.
Okay, fine. I was getting a little worried there. Go ahead. The good question is, are the commodity markets manipulated?
Without question.
All right, fine. Does that
Period.
Answer your question? And so is the stock market as well.
We got a wholesale price of gasoline here that moved up to 126 on Friday, and it was down 11 cents today to 116. But one of the large manufacturers or whatever you want to call them, of gasoline has been offline, and that's one of the reasons for the increase. But that doesn't let out the fact that leave away the fact that there's a lot of manipulation going on, and it's being done by the United States government.
And you have to understand, Ian, that as far as gasoline is concerned, we have not built a new refinery in the United States in 30 years. It has been effectively blocked because they don't want competition. And the oil companies have done everything they could to promote the environmental movement, which, of course, has blocked competition. This is why they don't want nuclear energy. They don't want competition. And they lie to the American people about all sorts of things. Anything else, Ian, before we let you go?
Well, no, I don't want to tie up the time, but, I just see it's very difficult to make a living these days with these manipulations going on.
But it's going to be a lot harder before long. So, grit your teeth and you'll look back on these days as the good old days.
Well, I'm already producing orange juice at a loss. It makes no economic sense for me to do this anymore.
All right, I know it's tragic, but they want to destroy the infrastructure of our society. That is what they really want.
And it's not only ours, it's everybody's.
Right.
It's just that we in Western Europe are the prime cases.
In fact, if you have never read the...
Bye-bye,
and thank you so much for calling. And let's go to Kent, who's calling us from West Virginia. And hi, Kent. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Kent. Hi, Bob. I heard something not too long ago, and I forget from which channel, but they said that 20% of the British economy was what they called financial products. I don't know if Bob knows anything about that. And that makes me think that, all these financial products are going to be worthless and Britain is going to take a tremendous, tremendous fall.
Well, that's an interesting thing. Of course, the city The city is part of London. It has a separate government, a separate police force. It's above the law. It's where the financial centers of the world are, there in New York City. We'll be back in just a moment, and Bob will tell you the answer. Bob, it's just a moment here. We've got to go to... Well, this is Dr. Stan. Go ahead there, Bob. What was your thought?
The figure that the gentleman quoted, 20%, is correct. And the city of London is in serious trouble. And so is the British economy. And we cover Europe and England extensively in the International Forecaster, the whole world, but they in particular because... of the commonality of background and interests and way of doing business. But, if you're watching the pound, it's come down from essentially 202. It's now 142.69 on the close today. It was off almost 2 cents. Earlier in the day, it was off 4 cents. And so... what people are saying is that we think the pound's going lower, and we think the nation of Britain is in serious trouble.
There is even talk about England eventually defaulting on their debt. I mean, nations don't default. Well, if they do, why? You know, this creates a total disruption in the economic system. And yet, of course, we've seen Iceland default on their debt. Remember, then Argentina defaulted on their debt a few years ago. But I think we're going to see more and more countries defaulting on their debt. I think that some of the states here in the United States are going to have to default on their debt because there's going to be absolutely no way of paying their bonds. What do you think, Bob?
I think that what has been planned is that when we get to the point where deflation finally takes over, it's been suppressed for 5 years now, and it will continue to be suppressed until they can't suppress it anymore by creating money and credit. And when we reach that point, and I think it's a year or two from now, could be closer, maybe three, I don't know. Nobody does. But when they reach that point, all of the nations, I believe, are simultaneously going to step in and devalue and default. And then they're going to call for a new international currency.
I think that's a pretty good explanation. What do you think? Anything else you'd like to ask, Kent?
No, except if they come up with a new currency, all those guys that got these billions and billions stashed away, how are they going to convert theirs? I guess it would be a special provision for them, huh?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think an awful lot of people are going to end up being totally impoverished before this is over. The big boys, of course, will. I mean, they've already made their plans. Their money is already secure. It's just yours. And there's some of the millionaires and billionaires out there who don't know how the game is played. Hey, hang on. We'll be back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We have Kent calling us from West Virginia. And Kent was simply asking, what's going to happen down the line? What's happening to England? The British pound seems to be having some trouble. And Bob says, he thinks that down the line, why, of course, is when deflation really sets in, most of the governments of the world are going to default on their bonds, and certainly the currencies are going to become worthless. Of course, Kent said, well, that means a lot of these big boys, really big boys behind this, are going to lose their money. And how would you respond to that, Bob? Should we be concerned about the multi-billionaires who've created this whole problem? Do you think they're going to be hurt?
Many of them are already in gold.
And we know that the Rockefeller's been buying gold for years. In fact, one of their employees over in Europe made that statement just before she accidentally fell out of a hotel window, fell about 50 stories and died. Just a coincidence.
That's correct.
These are the last things that they want you to know. The Rockefellers and the other international bankers are buying up gold with the idea of creating a new international currency, gold-backed, but privately issued by the rulers of the world. Anything else, Kent, before we let you go?
No, thanks.
Thanks very much for listening, and you get everybody else there in West Virginia listening, will you?
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Gene, who's calling from Ohio. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Before we go to Gene, though, Bob, would you like to tell our listeners how they can get the International Forecaster? Because I get so involved in our conversations, I forget to give you a chance to plug your product.
Well, the International Forecaster is about business, finance, economics, and social and political issues all over the world. We produce an email copy every Wednesday and Saturdays. It runs around 30 pages each time. And we have a hard copy that goes out twice a month for those who are not on the Internet. There's three ways you can get an introductory copy. You can go to our site. That address is theinternationalforecaster.com. That's theinternationalforecaster.com. Or you can email us at international_forecaster@yahoo.com. international_forecaster@yahoo.com. Or you can call toll free 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
All right, fine. Let's go to Gene, who's calling from Ohio. Hi, Gene. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I had a quick question. I think you both do a tremendous job. I have, you know, done preparedness and so on, but I do have an annuity, and I was under the, or told that I couldn't get out of it. Is there any suggestion, on Bob, on maybe how to get out of it, or some of them are just that's
well,
it? Or?
I think that what you should do is get a copy of your contract and go to an attorney who specializes in that sort of law.
Okay.
And ask him, is it true that I can't get out of this contract? And he will tell you yay or nay.
Well, the thing is,
you should be happy to pay him to do that.
Yeah.
Because if they're not telling you the truth, which is very possible in our day and age, then you'll know it. And so spend, you know, $300 or $400 and find out for sure.
Sure.
But it's vitally important, because if they destroy the value of our currency, which I think is exactly what they intend to do, then, of course, you know, your annuity would become worthless. If you can possibly get out of it, get out of it, even if you have to take a loss, but get it invested in something that will have some permanent value, because we're in for some of the most difficult times in the nation of our history. In fact, some people are saying this is the worst contraction, financial contraction, going back 300 years, almost to the time of the creation of the Central Bank of Europe in 1694. Okay,
well,
anything else?
That was a very quick answer. I appreciate that. I have one more question. It's kind of, I heard this on another show. There's something called CAFR. It was something about municipalities and governments that their budget totals showing that they have big deficits, but then a person was saying that in actuality they've accumulated a lot through investments in something and indicating that they're actually not in dire straits. Is that true?
What's your take on that, Bob?
Well, I really don't know. And Walter Burian has been talking about it for some time. And he says that he has the proof that that isn't, in fact, the case. I don't know, but if they do have these investments in stocks and bonds, and the stock market, which is 8,000 approximately on the Dow right now, goes to 4,000, where I think it's going to, if we're lucky, and interest rates go higher, which I do believe they will, because of the financial condition of the United States and England and other countries, then the value of those, quote, secret holdings will go down as well. And so even if they've got them, they're going to be of less value, though they may sell them on the way down. But if they do, that'll expedite the downside on the market. So I just am not tuned in enough to know, and no one no one else has talked about that. So I just don't know.
Gene, I went down to our local courthouse, and I got that report he talks about. And this is the investments that the county has a certain amount of money invested for the retirement funds. And, of course, then they will have maybe a rainy day fund. But, I mean, as I went through this whole file, and I'm not an accountant, but it looked to me like this was all legitimate money that they'd put away, you know, specifically for the retirement and for the health benefits of the retirees. And I will tell you that if this was really a problem, and there was that money there, they would not be laying off police forces and employees all across this country. And I wonder why only Walter Berean knows about it. Having checked it out myself, I think it's a scam. I really do. Anything else?
Well, that was super. That really answered my question.
All right.
I appreciate it.
God bless. And let's go to Brenda, who's calling from Paso Robles and going along with what Bob was saying. I mean, most of these pension funds, or if there really is a fund out there, would already have lost half of its value, or at least 45% of its value. And it's going to lose another 50% of its value, and it's going to end up being worth, you know, maybe 20 or 30 cents on the dollar, if it exists. And I'm not convinced it does. But let's go to Brenda, who's calling from Paso Robles. She's been waiting patiently. Once again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. 464-8295, and this is the first time we've had an open line here since Bob came on. Hi, Brenda. Do you have a question or comment?
Hi, Dr. Stan. Get to count, and also is it best to have gold stock?
All right, fine. Two questions. Is it bad to have money in a money market fund? Is it bad to have gold stock? Okay, are those questions?
A money market account.
Money market account. Okay, Bob.
Well, I heard a comment by the man that runs Blackstone today, and he said that what really concerns him is the state of money market accounts. And I heard it also from another major firm. And I, you know, the government has said for a two-year period, which maybe a year is over by now, now, whether they'll renew that or not, but they said that they would guarantee the deposits. I still don't trust it. I tell people who are subscribers to keep enough money in a bank account for operating expenses in your daily life for a maximum of 6 months. No CDs and no money market funds. Take the rest of it that's excess of that. Let's say that your costs run $3,000 a month. You maybe have $18,000 in a checking account. And if you got $118,000, well, you want to take $100,000 out. And gold stocks are a good place to go, as are gold and silver coins.
Okay, anything else, Brenda?
And incidentally, you know, when people want help with those things, all you have to do is email us, and we'll tell you what we think you ought to do. We don't charge for that. All we ask is that people subscribe.
Okay, Brenda.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye. And let's go to Joss, who's calling us from Tennessee. Hi, Joss. How are you doing?
Good. Good. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Yeah, my question is, you know, in the whole scheme of the New World Order and the fact that the elites are attempting to destroy the world economies and the currencies, how is it that they are going to benefit from a world currency?
All right, fine. That's a very good question.
The benefit is the control of the people. And you'll have one bank, one currency, and that takes away the sovereignty of every single nation involved. The running of your economy is taken from you.
And of course,
and that's what they're after.
Those who issue the money control the nation. That's what's about the control. The individual control everything. As Lord Rothschild said, let me issue the money, and I care not who makes the laws. I think that, of course, the major issues are going to be the Rockefellers, and maybe with the Rothschilds and a few of the other elitists when this whole thing comes down. But at least according to a recent issue of Foreign Affairs magazine, I think it was last year, or maybe it was the year before that, they were talking about a privately issued gold-backed currency for the whole world. And believe me, they're the ones, the elitists are going to be the ones who are going to be issuing it. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does.
All right.
Really appreciate it.
Anything else?
That's all.
God bless. Okay, let's go to Jim, who's calling from Columbia, South Carolina. Hi, Jim. How you doing?
Good. Thank you. I'd just like to thank both of you for your work. And my question is, what happens to the gold price per ounce if they change currencies?
All right. What happens to the gold price per ounce if they change currencies?
Well, I think gold would already have anticipated such a disastrous scenario, and so it would have preceded the devaluation and default of any currency, and that's what it's been doing for about 4.5 years. Gold has been going up against every currency in the world because they're all fiat, with the exception of the euro, which is semi-fiat. They had 15% backing with gold, now they got about 7%. Or until they come out with better figures than they've got, that's where I'll guess it is. But other than that, they're fiat. So gold's been going up against them, and that will continue. So what gold is saying is that your currency's values are worth less every day, at least over the last 4.5 years. And so gold's going to continue to reflect that. Now, the only thing that we have that's been going on, which is unusual, is the United States government has been manipulating all markets, gold and silver included. Now, where should gold be today? Gold should be about $2,000 an ounce minimum. So the people today who can buy gold at these prices are essentially getting it extraordinarily cheap because of this unusual suppression that can't last indefinitely. Sooner or later, gold's going to explode. In fact, in the next 3 months, by the end of April, I think it'll be somewhere between $1,100 and $1,700 an ounce. And if I'm right, that will be reflecting some of the inflation since 1980. But I think that you're going to see gold go to much higher prices than that because the financial system is going to start to crumble, which it already has begun, and it'll go on for a while, a year or two or three or whatever it is, and maybe gold will go to $6,000. But it's the only place to be besides silver, and we're going to get hyperinflation first, and then we're going to get depression in the form of devaluation. I believe depression has already begun last week.
Okay, anything else?
So then you're saying it's going to precede it by going up in value against the dollar, and then it'll stay there when they change currencies? It'll stay at that
value
based on the
currency? It'll either stay there or go higher. And even if it came down, let's say it went to $3,000 an ounce, and let's say it dropped $600 to $2,400. That's a 20% drop. It would be inconsequential. This is hypothetical.
Right.
It would be inconsequential, because everything else would be down between 60 and 90%. That was our experience during the 1930s, and this is 5 times worse than that.
Right.
We're in for
a
reverse instant.
I was wondering if it was a good idea, maybe right before they switch currencies, if there's any way of predicting it, to sell the gold and be in the old currency when it switches over.
No.
Is there any argument for that?
We're not that smart.
Okay.
Okay, thanks so much, Jim. Bye-bye. And but you try to play games in this whole situation. You try to outsmart them, you're going to lose because they're a lot smarter than we are. They've got supernatural intelligence behind them, supernatural evil intelligence. Thanks very much. Let's go to Mike calling from Santa Cruz. Again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Hi, Mike. How are we doing?
Hi, Stan. Back to the discussion about foreign countries buying treasury bonds. I just had one question. Are these countries buying these bonds from the Federal Reserve or from the Treasury?
Usually from the Treasury. They might buy them in the market as well, but usually they'll buy them from the U.S. Treasury.
Okay.
Anything else, Mike?
Thanks a lot.
All right, very good. Well, we answered all the questions here. I appreciate that. And We are in for the most difficult times that I've ever lived through, and I think any of the rest of us have. And there are a lot of people, a lot smarter than I am, are saying exactly the same thing. And this is not going to get well. Later this year or in the year 2010, they're talking about this thing is going to go on for 5 to 10 or more years. What are your thoughts, Bob?
Well, I think the carnage in all aspects, and that includes housing and commercial real estate, the bankruptcy of banks, brokerage firms, insurance companies, corporations, the debt that's being heaped upon the American people to bail out the wealthy, that is going to go on probably for anywhere between a year and a half to 5 years, and finally bottom will be hit. And I think after that, we're going to go a minimum of 8 years and maybe as much as 20 years bumping along the bottom. And that is if we do not have another world war and that we do not have a revolution.
Well, neither one of them are very good things to have. And the tragedy is that I believe that, of course, the other side is manipulating everything. And they want us, of course. They would love to have a civil unrest so they could justify their concentration camps. That's why they're bringing the military, some of the units, home here to be used against the American people. If you haven't heard my talk on the planned police state and see the syllabus, you need to get it. Well, Bob, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up today's program.
Well, I am the official wrapper-upper.
That's right.
Anyway,
you are the wrapper-upper.
You know, we've covered so much tonight. I think it's been a very exciting program. And I think that this stimulus package will be passed rather quickly, probably in a week or so. And once that's done, I think they'll move on to other things that the Democrats find important, such as gun control and more forms of spending. And I think that Americans are going to be surprised because they haven't seen the Democrats really in action for 8 years, and just how easily they can spend money, even more easily than the Republicans did. And all they're going to do is compound the problems. As you can see visually, the team that's been put in place by Mr. Obama, supposedly, is they've just taken over their Team A, taking over from Team B, all members of, as you pointed out, Stan, the CFR, the Trilats, the Bilderbergers. And so they're going to continue to do the programs that were in place before. Nothing's going to change. And I'm deathly afraid that they're going to have a world war in the Middle East. And that's what I think the Israeli incursion about a year ago into Lebanon, and then the incursion recently into Gaza and Palestine were all about. And I think they're getting warmed up and ready to go. And then the call will go out, we need more troops, so let's draft everybody.
Well, I hope you're wrong, but I really think it's going to happen. And I think it's we had a program just last hour with Barry Shamish, and he thinks that he's an Israeli citizen. He thinks it's absurd. And I say, you look at things logically, Barry. You don't understand. If you look at things logically, there's nothing logical out there. And when you understand there are other forces that work behind the scenes that have a different agenda because they have a different worldview, why would you do things that don't make any sense from a logical point of view? So I certainly agree with you, Bob. I think that we're in for some very, very difficult times. I appreciate so much having you with us every week, and we'll look forward to talking to you next week right here at Radio Liberty.
Well, thank you, and I'll see you then.
Right, bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan and Sydney. This is the time when I need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported. And if you're in a position to help us, we'd certainly appreciate hearing from you. Now, I know a lot of people out there are hurting, and a lot more are hurting. And we've had some of our people who've just been with us for years who've lost their jobs and have real problems. We understand they have to drop out. Oh, you know, they cut back dramatically on their contributions. But whatever you can do, we'll appreciate. Certainly we need, want to maintain what we have, the foundation of stations that we've got, well over 60 outlets every week. And we're reaching people and more callers. So many callers today we've just never heard from before. So if you'd like to become part of the Radio Liberty family, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Now, we've got this great new DVD, and it's called The Eye of the Phoenix. If you haven't seen it, by Chris Ruddy, or by Chris Pinto, you need to get it. And it goes into the symbology on the back of the dollar bill. And there is certainly, you can expect that the History Channel and the Discovery Channel and all the other establishment centers and PBS will be putting out new documentaries telling you there's nothing to worry about, there's no occult influence, that this is all imaginary. And the truth of the matter is not imaginary. There really are occult and secret societies, and you can, you know, go to the OTO website, go to the Rosicrucian website, go to the Lucius Trust website, go to the Theosophist website, go to the Masonic website. There are dozens of secret societies out there, of course the big ones. They're not secret, they're covert, because they don't tell you what it's really all about. The Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Trilateral Commission. Bilderbergers don't have a website, but the other two organizations do. But nobody will tell you that they're founded in the occult. And once you understand that, you can understand why they want a one-world government, because it was prophesied thousands of years ago. Why they want to get everybody numbered, because it was prophesied thousands of years ago. Why they want, of course, to destroy our economy and impoverish our people and have everybody numbered. And all of these things are coming to pass. If you haven't seen the great DVDs we have with Pastor Billy Crone, for the final countdown, you'll certainly want to get them. They've got a wonderful spiritual message, a message of hope, and we're going to need hope in the time that lies ahead. That's Final Countdown, Part 1, Part 2. And then, of course, for the understanding of what's going on, The Eye of the Phoenix, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginnings, Riddles in Stone, and then, of course, we have a couple of DVDs we produced, one with Chris Pinto on the Atlantis connection, because the secret societies have always wanted America to become the new Atlantis, to destroy that wicked society that existed before the Great Flood, and they believe it was the Great Flood that destroyed Atlantis, and America is to be the new Atlantis, and that's why they're going to use America's military and financial might to bring about this one-world system. That's why we went to war with Iraq. That's why we went to war with Afghanistan. Ask yourself, why are we fighting in Afghanistan today? Why did we attack them initially? Why we had to get the wicked Osama bin Laden? Well, if we had to get the wicked Osama bin Laden, he escaped to Pakistan, why didn't we attack Pakistan? Why are we still fighting in Afghanistan? One reason is, of course, they're the greatest producer of heroin in the world, or at least produce half of it. And, of course, when the Taliban, the wicked Taliban, were there, they weren't producing the heroin. And now that the courageous Americans are there, why, the opium fields are blooming again. And doesn't make sense, does it? And that doesn't make sense that we're financing the Pakistani government that's financing their ISI, that's financing the Taliban, that are killing our boys. It's like Vietnam all over again. I number 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, well, we'd love to have you join. You can listen to our programs for nothing at our website, radioliberty.com. Read our newsletters there. They're free. We hope you'll subscribe, but you can always pull them down there. Help us get the information out. And then please pray for America and pray for revival. Because if this nation doesn't turn back to God, we're going to lose America.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar.